In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. We wish you a very happy and blessed new year. And today we celebrate Mary, the Mother of God. So very appropriate that we start off by praying to Mary. She is the Mother of God. We celebrate today, January 1st. Mary is also the Mother of the Church, proclaimed by Vatican II, Mater Ecclesiae. Mary is also the mother of each and every one of us. That beautiful prayer that we say, which is the Hail Holy Queen, we say Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Mary is our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's turn to Mary and ask Mary to be with us this new year. As we say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So we'd like to invite also to be with us our spiritual guide. Our spiritual guide is the Holy Spirit. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to be with us. He is known as the Counselor. He's also known as the Consoler. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. The Holy Spirit is the mutual bond of love between the Father and the Son. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church today, which is number 214, speaks about God as truth and love. How beautiful. Number 214 in our catechism, explaining who God is, two of the attributes of God. God is truth, and God is love. As Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the love. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And God is love, St. John mentions. The Father loves the Son loves the Father. Mutual love between Father and Son is the Holy Spirit. So, as St. Paul says, we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba, Father. So let's sing to the Holy Spirit and beg the Holy Spirit this year that this will be the best year of our lives because we're really going to grow in our knowledge and love and service of the Trinity through the prayers of Mary. As we sing, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me. Fill me, use me, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Now on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Fall afresh on us. Mary, Mother of God, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Faustina, pray for us. Saint Teresa of Avila, pray for us. Saint Thomas Aquinas, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So we wish you all a very happy new year. And in my Mass today at 12, I'll be praying for all of you. So as my New Year's gift, I'll place all of you on the altar in the Mass, so that when I lift up the paten and the chalice to praise the Trinity through the Eucharistic presence, I'll pray that this will be the best year in your life. I'll pray that God will bless you with a long life, a holy life, peace, joy, and blessings, and eternal life. So that'll be my gift to our Perseverance family, that God would bestow upon you abundant blessings, very abundant blessings, that this year will be the best year in your life. So just a recap of where we're at. Today is the octave. Today is the octave, which means this is the eighth day in the celebration of our Lord's birthday. Let's just go through it quickly, and then the readings today are very, very, very rich. Very rich. So, 8 days ago, we celebrated the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, we're still celebrating the birthday of our Lord in the octave. And the Christmas season will last longer. It'll last at least another week, if not more. The day after Christmas, we celebrated Saint Stephen, the proto-martyr, a man who meditated upon the Word of God, a model for all of us in perseverance. Because he meditated upon the Word of God, he understood the Word of God, he put into practice the Word of God, and Saint Stephen died for the Word of God. The name Stephen means crown, because he was crowned with stones, actually. And he was forgiving his persecutors, like Jesus. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. He said, Jesus, into your hands I commend my spirit. Very much like what Jesus said at the Last Supper. The following day was Sunday, and it was Holy Family. Holy Family is Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Jesus, the perfect son, Mary, the perfect mother and spouse, and Saint Joseph, the perfect husband and father. So on that day, we're giving some points on how we can improve our own family life. And maybe this is obvious, but it has to be said, that the way in which we're going to improve our family life is when we put God in the center of our family life. We can put Jesus, Mary, and Joseph in the very center of our family life, then this is going to be the best year in our life. Irrespective of what's going on in the pandemic, if we stay close to God, that's the most important thing in the world. Mary and Joseph, the center of their life was Jesus. Let's learn from them. I repeat, both Mary and Joseph, the center and focus of their life was our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's try to imitate Mary and Joseph and put Jesus in the center of our lives. And December 28th is also the feast of St. John the Evangelist, the 27th rather. The other day I spoke about St. John the Evangelist. There's so much to be said about him, but just one idea. Jesus was brought up and raised in a family, but once he left his family at 30 years of age, he wanted to form another family. The family of the apostles, the 12 apostles. But in that family, there were three that were very special to Christ. We might even call it the inner group, the inner circle. And they were his best friends. Who were they? Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John were Jesus' best friends. His two best friends were Peter and John. But St. John the Evangelist was the best friend of Jesus. That can be another New Year's proposal for us. This year, I will cultivate my friendship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You might even beg St. John the Evangelist, because part of our perseverance family are the saints and the angels. We're part of the church militant. The saints are part of the church triumphant, and they are our friends, praying for us, encouraging us, spurring us on. Ask St. John the Evangelist for the grace to really grow in your friendship with Jesus Christ, starting today. I'm sure you all have a friendship with Jesus, but we can always grow in our friendship with Jesus Christ. May St. John the Evangelist obtain that grace for us. December 28th, we actually celebrate the Holy Innocents, in which we meditate upon Herod killing the Holy Innocents, and St. Joseph getting up, taking the child Jesus and mother and fleeing into Egypt, saving the child from being destroyed by the wicked King Herod. This calls to mind the greatest moral evil in our country. And that is the reality of abortion. Abortion is infanticide. As King Herod killed those innocent babies, abortion is killing innocent babies. We have to do all in our power to fight against this moral iniquity. Pray for the conversion of our country and our politicians. And I mentioned to you the most famous conversion in the pro-life movement, and it was Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who is known as the King of Abortion, responsible for 80,000 abortions. His Saul of Tarsus, Damascus experience was viewing an ultrasound. By viewing an ultrasound, that stopped him in his tracks to reflect upon, by seeing those graphic images of the baby moving in the womb of the mother. This is a baby. This is a human person that has right to life. And he did a 180-degree conversion. And he was able to write and to make the movie, The Silent Scream. Then he's eventually converted to Catholicism and baptized by Cardinal John O'Connor in St. Patrick's Cathedral. He died a few years ago, being a very ardent proponent of the pro-life movement. Then we celebrated St. Thomas Becket. Becket was important because President Donald Trump actually honored him, because December 29th was the 850th anniversary of the death of Thomas Becket at the hands of King Henry II. you like English literature, T.S. Eliot actually wrote a play called The Murder of the Cathedral, and that was of Thomas Becket. In which he says, the worst of all treasons is to die for the wrong reason. But Becket died, as Trump was pointing out, to defend religious liberty. We pray that we would have religious liberty in our country, that we will not be deprived of our rights to worship God with our lips, with our minds, with our hearts, with our churches open. Then the last day of the year we celebrated Saint Sylvester Pope, who lived and died in the 4th century, in the 300s. First saint to be canonized that was not a martyr. For 300 years the popes were martyred, starting with Peter, Clement, Sixtus, Cornelius, Chrysogonus, Lawrence, we have in the Roman canon. And he worked with Constantine, in which the Catholic religion was the religion of the state. He participated in the Council of Nicaea, in which Christ was not accepted by many as the Son of God. He coined the phrase consubstantial with the Father. And also Saint Sylvester Pope was instrumental in the building of some of those beautiful churches in Christianity. Saint Peter, Saint Lawrence, Saint Holy Cross in Jerusalem, and the Basilica of the Pope, Saint John Lateran. So my friends, this is the celebration that we have for the Easter, the Christmas octave. So I'd like to enter into the readings for today, and just that you're aware of it. January 1st, we celebrate the Solemnity of Mary, the Mother of God. St. Pope Paul VI also proclaimed this day is the Universal Day of Peace. So just a little bit of theological explanation of this privilege, and then we'll go into the beautiful readings today. The first centuries, the Church went through what were called the theological, Christological heresies. The Council were trying to pound out who was Jesus. And some denied that he was God, others denied his double nature. And that happened also with this feast day that we celebrate today. There was a bishop whose name was Nestorius, who denied that Mary was the Mother of God. She said Mary was the mother of Jesus in his human nature, but Mary was not the mother of God. So a council was called together. It's called the Council of Ephesus in the year 431. And thanks to Saint Cyril of Alexandria and the Holy Spirit, Mary was proclaimed as the Theotokos. Theotokos. And that means the Christ bearer. We pray to Mary in the Hail Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. So in the year 431, the Council of Ephesus proclaimed dogmatically that Mary is truly the Mother of God. So that's the ecclesiotheologically foundation of this, which is Mary's greatest privilege, is that Mary is the Theotokos, the Mother of God. We honor this every time we say the Hail Mary, Holy Mary, Mother of God. So let's go from the theological dogmatic truth of Mary, the Mother of God. Let's go to the readings. Today being a solemnity, there are actually three readings in honor of Mary, the Mother of God. The first reading is taken from the Book of Numbers of the Old Testament, chapter 6. In our formation family here, the Book of Numbers is taken from the first part of the Bible, which is called the Pentateuch. Penta comes from Greek, which means five. The first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers. This is attributed to Moses as being the author. The Jews call it the Torah. We call it the Pentateuch. So what happens is that the Lord said to Moses, speak to Aaron and his sons and tell them. So Aaron was the brother of Moses. The Aaron was the priestly class. So as a priestly class, they could bless. And he tells Aaron how the Israelites shall be blessed by the sons of Aaron. And he gives a beautiful blessing. He says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And give you his peace. So you shall invoke the name, my name, upon the Israelites, and I will bless them. So the first reading is a blessing upon the Israelites, but it's also the blessing upon the church. It's a blessing upon all of you. So we are invoking God's blessing upon you today. May this year be a year of great blessing for all of you. For me too. The opposite of blessing would be a curse. We want our presence to be a blessing upon the world, a blessing upon the church, a blessing upon our workplace, a blessing upon our family. May you be a blessing to the world this year, starting with your own family. Now, with respect to blessings, I was meditating upon the whole idea of blessings this morning, in preparation for our conversation. Did you know that as parents, you can bless your family? I remember seeing my mother bless children and grandchildren. Now let me tell tell you what you can do. Maybe this will be a New Year's proposal. Mothers and fathers can bless their children. Mothers and fathers can bless your children, and grandparents can bless their grandchildren, because we have probably some grandparents here. Yes, you can. You are called as parents to educate your children, but you're called also to bless your children. Now, I'll tell you a very good way to do it. You can tune in to our holy hour every night at 8:30, which we pray the rosary in the chapel, give a little talk. Then we end up by giving you a blessing. We give you a blessing through the Blessed Sacrament called benediction. Then after you finish the holy hour, you can bless your children by holy water. You can take a little bit of holy water and you can mark the forehead. And husband can do that to the wife, and the wife can do that to the husband too. Because, my friends, we celebrate the Holy Family. Your family is called to be the domestic church. Pope John Paul II, in his document Tertio Millennio Innuente, which he wrote to introduce us into the new millennium, the year 2000, says that the church should be the house of prayer. But he also said that the family should be a house of prayer. Your person, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, you should be a house of prayer. The family is the domestic church. Your family should be a house of prayer, and you are the temple of the Blessed Trinity. You yourself should be a house of prayer. So you can carry holy water and you can bless. So that might be a New Year's proposal. Every night, you can make the holy hour with us if you can't, but pray with your family and end up by blessing your family. You take holy water and just make the sign of the cross on the forehead. We're called to be a blessing. We are called to be a blessing. And you know, another way in which you can be blessing God is at the end of the holy hour. We pray the divine praises. You know the divine praises, my friends, the divine praises are blessings. So after we bless you with the Blessed Sacrament, we say the divine praises in Spanish and English. We invite you to pray the divine praises with us. What are they? Blessed be God. Blessed be His holy name. Blessed be Jesus Christ, true God and true man. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be His most sacred heart. Blessed be His most precious blood. Blessed be Jesus in the most holy sacrament of the altar. Blessed be the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Blessed be the great Mother of God, Mary Most Holy. Blessed be her holy and immaculate conception. Blessed be her glorious assumption. Blessed be the name of Mary, Virgin and Mother. Blessed be Saint Joseph, her most chaste spouse. Blessed be God and his angels and his saints. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? The divine praises is one of the best ways in which we can bless God. So may you be a blessing. May you bless God with your mind, your lips, your heart, but may you bless God with the lives that you live. May our lives this year reflect the blessing of God upon us and upon the whole world. So I invite you to read and meditate upon the book of Numbers, which Moses calls his brother Aaron, who's the priest, the high priest, and his sons, to bless the Israelites. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you kindly and give you peace. Beautiful, 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 beautiful blessing. The Carmelite Sisters of the Sacred Heart have actually learned how to give this blessing through a song when we do the 8-day retreat and we're finishing the retreat. The young sisters, the novices, and the postulants come in and they'll usually sing that beautiful prayer of blessing upon all of the retreatants who have done the 8-day retreat. So I will pray that God would bless you in a very, very special way today, this new year, in all the days of your life. So let's move on. The responsorial psalm is actually taken from Psalm 67. And the antiphon is, may God bless us in his mercy. May God bless us in his mercy means that we are sinners. But God's mercy is great. We read in Romans chapter 5, St. Paul says, where sin abounds, the mercy of God abounds all the more. There's another New Year's proposal for us. Let us trust in God's infinite mercy. And even if we fall, let's don't stay down. Let's get up. Nunc cepi, which means now I begin. Let us entrust ourselves to God's mercy, but also let us try to be merciful. As Jesus says, be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful. When praying the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So that's the responsorial psalm, Psalm 67. Then we have the second reading, which is the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians. And he starts out by saying, brothers and sisters. We are brothers and sisters because this is the perseverance family. Then St. Paul speaks about a prophecy that has become a reality. And he says, in the fullness of time, in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman. So there we have the biblical reading of St. Paul that refers to Mary, the mother of God. God sent his son born of a woman. That woman's name is Mary. She is the mother of God. She's the mother of the church. And Mary's the mother of each and every one of us. And he said, born under the law to ransom those under the law. Now, what does ransom mean? Ransom means to buy back. And really, ransom means is that we were slaves to our own sins. Through Mary, who brought forth Jesus to the world, we are ransomed, we are freed from our sins. And as a result of this, St. Paul says, proof that you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So we're no longer slaves, but we're sons. We're sons and daughters of God. That's true. When you are baptized, we should be thankful for our baptism. You are transformed into a son or daughter of God, brother and sister to Jesus Christ, an intimate friend with the Holy Spirit, and living temple of the Trinity. This passage, Galatians chapter 4, also mentions the Blessed Trinity. God the Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ. And also, as proof that you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son. So when you're meditating on Galatians chapter 4, 4-7 today, it is a Trinitarian passage. God, Father, sends His Son and sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. The Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So you're a son or daughter of God. You are a brother or sister to Jesus Christ, and you're an intimate friend with the Holy Spirit. And to honor Mary, who we celebrate today, Mary, the Mother of God, in the mystery of the Trinity, Mary is the daughter of God the Father. Mary is the mother of God the Son. And Mary is the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. How beautiful. Mary is the daughter of God the Father, the mother of God the Son, and she's the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. So given that we celebrate Mary, the Mother of God, the Gospel reading today is the Gospel that we actually read on Christmas. This is the octave, the eighth day. So this whole week we're celebrating Christmas, which is the birthday of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's the Gospel of the Shepherds. So we're all familiar with this, but let's pull out some new ideas for us. St. John of the Cross says that getting to know Christ is like descending into a deep gold mine. And he says the deeper you go into the gold mine, you find pockets of golden nuggets. John the Cross compares Christ to these golden nuggets. The deeper we go, the more golden nuggets that we discover. May Christ be the very golden nugget of your heart through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So it says the shepherds. So let's just talk a little bit about a shepherd. These are the qualities of a shepherd. Simple, childlike, hardworking, vigilant, watching over the sheep at night, appreciating silence. So all these qualities open them up to God. Humility, simplicity, silence. So they were able to hear the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to men and women of goodwill. But also shepherds. Our Lady appeared to three shepherd children. Right? Jacinta, Francisca, and Lucia. Because of their great simplicity. But then the most famous psalm in the Bible is Psalm 23. Talking about, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. David was a shepherd. He's called to be the king of Israel. Jesus is going to take, my friends, Jesus is going to take Psalm 23 and he's going to apply that to himself. Jesus is going to say, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. One last idea, applying it to yourselves. Many of you, all of us are called to be shepherds in one way or another. We as priests were called to be pastors, not Protestant pastors, but we're called to be pastors. To tend the flock or the sheep that God has given to us. But also parents, mothers and fathers. Mothers and fathers are called to become shepherds of the sheep that are entrusted to you. Teachers are called to be shepherds. Preachers are called to be shepherds. Older siblings are called to be shepherds. But let me tell you the secret of being a good shepherd. The secret of you and for me to be a good shepherd is for us to be a good shepherd, we have to be a good sheep of the good shepherd so that we can be a good shepherd to our sheep. You got that? I'll repeat. You're called to be a good shepherd. How can we be a good shepherd? We're called to be a good shepherd of our sheep, yes. But first we have to be a good sheep of Jesus the Good Shepherd so that we can become a good shepherd to the sheep entrusted to us. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. So the shepherds, they went in haste to Bethlehem. Take the word haste. Where else do we meet this word, went in haste? The Blessed Virgin Mary. She went in haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth. How can we apply this to ourselves, going in haste? Simply this. So once baptized, you have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will inspire you with holy inspirations. Let's pray for the grace that when we receive these holy inspirations from the Holy Spirit, that like the Blessed Virgin Mary, who went in haste to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and like the shepherds, went in haste to encounter Jesus, that we would go in haste to carry out God's will whenever he asks us. The poet Dante, the Divine Comedy, presents in Purgatory the capital sins and the opposite virtue, and how Mary practiced the opposite virtue. And Dante points out that Mary shows us the opposite of sloth or laziness, because Mary went in haste quickly to carry out God's will. That could be another New Year's proposal, to avoid any type of laziness, physical, mental, and spiritual laziness, that we would be energetic in doing God's will this year. Energetically carrying out with joy, because God loves a cheerful giver. So they went in haste because they heard the angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to men of goodwill. Today, for you is born Christ the Savior in the city of Bethlehem." They heard the angels singing that beautiful, beautiful song. That's how they knew. So they went in haste because they wanted to encounter Christ. We should go in haste to encounter Christ. We can go to Mass. We can go to Mass is obviously the best way. Going in haste, energetically, not dragging our feet. Not la filosofía de la mañana, as they say in Spanish. La filosofía de la mañana. Some of you speak Spanish. La filosofía de la mañana, lo hago mañana. I'll do it tomorrow. No. Ahorita, right now. You know, friends, we don't have a tomorrow. We only have now. Let's be faithful to living out the sacrament of the present moment, which is the spirituality of Saint Therese, right? Doing the ordinary things with extraordinary love. That's holiness. So they went in haste to Bethlehem. Bethlehem is the city of David. But also Bethlehem, my friends, the word Bethlehem means, it means the house of bread. How appropriate that Jesus would be born in the house of bread. Later on in Jesus' preaching in John chapter 6, Jesus will say, "I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So Bethlehem is the house of bread. Jesus was born in the house of bread so that he could nourish us with the bread of life. And our little soul, our souls becomes a little house of Bethlehem, because Christ enters into the depths of our soul every time we receive Holy Communion. Yeah. So they go in haste and they arrive, and they find the Holy Family. They found Mary and Joseph. There's a bumper sticker that I put on my car which says this: "Wise men still encounter Jesus in the arms of Mary." Do you like that? You like that? Wise men still encounter Jesus in the arms of Mary. That's a good one. So they enter into the cave of Bethlehem, and they see Mary and Joseph, and they see Jesus. He's lying in the manger. Let's take that word manger. Very interesting knowing languages. Manger in the Spanish, you call it pesebre. In Italian, there's mangiatoia. But manger actually comes from the French verb manger. And manger in French and English is to eat, comer in Spanish. Why would it be to eat? Because Jesus was placed on an eating trough of animals. That cave was a refuge of animals where they would be eating hay. That's why the word manger means to eat, an eating trough of the animals. What do we see in this is the real poverty of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Their love for simplicity. Their love for simplicity. And maybe here's another New Year's proposal. We'll be more detached from material things and have our hearts attached to Christ. So I'm giving you a lot of New Year's proposals along the way. Have our hearts not attached to material things, but have our hearts attached to God. Like Mary and Joseph, that Jesus will be the very center of our lives. And of course, the shepherds would have given Mary and Joseph some gifts. Would have been unheard of in the culture, as well as our culture, not leaving some type of gift. And of course, they were not rich. They probably would have left maybe some cheese, maybe some milk, maybe a blanket, maybe some bread, something very simple. But they gave it with great love. And that should characterize our lives. Maybe we don't have too much to offer. But giving with love is the key. Giving with love is the key. And I'm sure that Mary and Joseph were very grateful for the visit of the shepherds. Very grateful for the visit of the shepherds, their simplicity. Mary and Joseph welcomed them. As Mary and Joseph and Jesus are welcoming you today, as we start this new year in the octave of Christmas, they're welcoming you. In Tagalog, the word would be sabsaban. Thank you, James, no? Sabsaban in Tagalog. The manger where Jesus was placed on the eating trough of the animals. How beautiful. And Saint Ignatius says that Jesus was born as a child because no one is afraid to approach a little baby. If he came as a 6'5", 300-pound muscular person, that might scare us away. But you see how innocent, how vulnerable, how dependent Jesus was, that Jesus depended totally on Mary and Joseph. How humble God is that he makes himself so little as a little baby, totally dependent upon us. And we receive him in Holy Communion. Shouldn't we have the same love that Mary and Joseph had, the way they held Jesus, the way they placed him on the hay? But these shepherds, they could not keep this good news, and that's what gospel means, good news. They could not keep this good news to themselves. So they went about telling everybody they met. They became preachers. They became preachers of the gospel. Gospel is good, and they became preachers, uninhibited, about what they saw. They told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. They were amazed. That should be us. Given that you all love Christ, you're really trying to grow in your Catholic faith. As John Paul II says, as Pope Francis says in his encyclical, The Joy of the Gospel, that one of the best ways to grow in our faith, is when we can share our faith with others. There we have another New Year's proposal. I'm giving you a lot. Grab on to them and put them into practice. And that is, of course, to see if you can grow in your faith by sharing your faith with others. What you have received freely, give freely. The gift of Christmas is a person. And that person is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. Then there's another key passage, another very important passage for us in our Perseverance family. And that is, it says that Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. If you go to the Greek, translated in English would be to ruminate. Actually, ruminate would be what a cow does with his cud. He's chewing. He's masticating. He's almost pulverizing. He's chewing and chewing and chewing and chewing. So what Mary was doing, she was thinking, pondering, meditating, ruminating, going over all these things that happened. Meditating upon them in her heart. And that's really what we're all striving for as our in our Perseverance family world. We're all striving to be faithful to our holy hour. There's another proposal. Let's be faithful to our holy hour. I've given you about 10 proposals, okay? Like Mary, let's strive to meditate upon the Word of God in our heart. Make that proposal this year. We'll be faithful to our holy hour this whole year. Let's imitate Mary. Today we celebrate Mary, the Mother of God. What a beautiful, beautiful privilege. Mary's greatest privilege, the greatest privilege of the Blessed Virgin Mary, is that Mary is truly the Mother of God. How beautiful. The Theotokos. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. And Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. So a happy and blessed New Year for all of you. I'll pray for you in my Mass and you pray for me. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy New Year to all of you.